Welcome to the Blackout Podcast, where I get to talk to amazing people who do amazing things. And today, I've been waiting for this to happen for like almost a year now. Josh Creighton, one of the founders of Hume's Rolling Paper and super awesome, cool dude. And I think you might be related to one of the streets in Halifax.
No, people say that a lot. There's a Creighton Street, just a few streets up from where we are now, actually. But no, there's no, I never actually looked into that connection. It's something I'd love to do. I don't trust those kind of, the swab ancestral ones. So I'll have to go to one of the university libraries or something and, dig up the archives and see what I can find. But yeah, it hasn't happened yet.
Okay. So yeah, Fumes Rolling Paper. What's the story there?
Yeah, so I am a co-founder of that. It's a company myself and two of my childhood best friends founded. And in the midst of COVID, actually, I think almost all of us were unemployed at the time. One of us was in school in Queen's University, Chirino, one of the other founders. And we just had a lot more time on our hands. We were all super very entrepreneurial. Mm. We saw an opportunity, we thought, in the market, in the local market. And then we did a bunch of research, and especially with the cannabis industry, it's newly legalized, so there's a lot of red tape, a lot of restrictions, so many restrictions, a lot that we, as an entrepreneur, you have an idea and then you get so excited by it that you just kind of go like full throttle, which is kind of what we did a little. And we realized like a few months in, we had to take a step back and really do more research into what we're allowed and not allowed to do. Mm-hmm. It's the thing I love about being an entrepreneur is you just get to explore your curiosity.
Right.
Honestly, that's kind of the way I look at the whole process, right? Because you're constantly learning new things. Mm-hmm. And, none of us have educational background in entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. Or business. So we're learning trial by error and by experience. So it's takes longer, but sometimes the teachings sit with you bit more because you're experiencing it.
Exactly, you're learning by actually doing. I'm curious though, what are some of the red tapes and like restrictions that you have when it comes to paper? Because like paper is paper, right?
Right. So it's one of the reasons why we thought a product-based business is something we all kind of wanted to is something we envisioned. And again, we didn't know a lot, like a lot of the like the cost structures of that and the all the other things that you kind of go into, servicing a product-based venture. Mm. We knew that very early on, doing anything with cannabis would be crazy startup cost. Mm. We all have our own relationship with the plant and how we kind of came to be consumers of it. But, by no means that all of us are fairly new to it. So, it's not like we knew how to grow or we knew that the science behind that or anything. So we thought, there's a quote I heard a while ago. It's like when there's a gold rush, axe and hammer folks are making bank. So not a direct quote. I kind of just summarized that. But we thought like accessories would be a good lane to play in to get in and, see where this could take us. So papers immediately was, the one thing, it's something you buy frequently, you use them. And that was kind of the main way we consumed at the time too. Mm-hmm. So we kind of got into there and then did a bunch of research. But the restrictions. With papers, we're still in the industry, but we don't have as much red tape as maybe the licensed producers do.
Right.
So we advertising on anyone in the cannabis industry is super strict.
Yeah. Well, okay. in Canada, it's legal. So, like, what's the story there?
It's legal, fully legal. Like, for example, you can have anywhere from, like, I think 30 grams on you at once, or between 28 and 30. I don't know the exact number, but, yeah, you can grow up to 6 plants per household. You can do all that stuff. But still, where it gets kind of finicky is when it comes to minors. And so the advertising laws, like on social media and on anywhere really, where there's that audience of below. So, you know, concerts and clubs are good places we can kind of get into. Mm. And we can even, you know, advertise in cannabis stores,
right,
because, they're, you know, minors aren't allowed in there. But it kind of limits our platform.
Like, you can't put it on the bus or something.
No, we can't. Right. We can't, exactly. Right. So you can't put it on the bus. Things like that, but soon, hopefully.
Yeah,
I think maybe 5-10 years.
Probably. So, okay, you guys thought, right, we are not going to grow this thing. We're not going to, like, be building the, what's the one with the plants with water and stuff? Hydroponic?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
We're not going to do any of that. We're just going to go to papers. What was the process after your research? Like, how did you get it started?
Yeah, just a bunch of researches. We needed to find, needed to find a manufacturer who would do this and who would not only do it, but do it fast enough and do it to a quality that, you know, we wanted, mm-hmm. But also that we could work with too and kind of help to create new products. So it took us about a year to do that.
Wow.
Because, you know, you gotta ship stuff in, and, you know, most, the thing is too, because of it hasn't been, no one's producing cannabis products or papers or things like of this nature in the country, right? Because it's been illegal. So you have to look elsewhere for that. You got to import for that. And so it takes a lot of time just sourcing samples alone. But yeah, that's basically the process.
Wow. And then the name, what was the story behind the name?
The name, my partner Trino came up with that. One of the things, you know, we were always together, right? And we were all super entrepreneurial. So we would always kind of have chats about different ideas that would come to us. And that's basically, we were walking on the bridge one day, and I remember it vividly because me and Trino had a race. I thought I was faster than him, but no, he beat me. And that day.
Like a foot race? Or?
Yeah, foot race.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Again, we were consuming, just walking, right, enjoying right. the weather, having yeah. a good time. And yeah, he came up with the name actually. And I was like, one syllable, four letters. Okay, we can make it work.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's a dope name. And it says what the product is. Right. And then, okay, so you obviously had to sample papers. Why did you, what about the one you ended up, what was it about that one? You're like, this is the right product for
yeah,
us.
Yeah, they checked every box. Like, they could get it here the quickest. And again, like, finding the perfect supplier is tough in the beginning too, because mm-hmm. again, you're working with limited funds. And so, you know, we used to have a supply, like we've switched suppliers since too as well. So we found the one that was the fastest, got us the best product, and was the easiest to communicate with.
Mm-hmm. And you switched, when did the switch happen?
Well, actually, right between like Omicron and there is when, yeah. right when it started, we started getting those second waves.
Right, right.
Because, you know, that slows down shipments.
Yeah.
So we were like, okay, we need some backups too. So yeah, that right around that time.
Right, okay. Mm-hmm. And then what's the process? It comes in, how do you get it into the stores?
Comes in, so we get the product, and then you got to find clients, of course, people who want to sell it. You know, that's the first struggle. The first part is almost the easy part, right? Because you just do that on your own time. Mm-hmm. But then you have the product, and like, okay, now you got to get rid of it because it's essentially money just sitting there. Mm-hmm. So that was, in the beginning, that was tough. But we started corner stores were our main customer. And so ideally mom and pop shops too, not chains, because, you know, they had, if they own the store, they could make a call whether we could go in the store and make a pitch on right. the spot, and they would say yay or nay.
Right.
We went to almost every corner store in HRM, outside of HRM, and raised enough money to again get a bit more volume, get a bit
another product. So it's like you guys raised this fund, started it.
Yeah, we fundraised it.
Sell, comes in, and then you just put it back in the business.
Right.
Wow, like three guys, how do you make it work though? Like guys, even if you've been friends forever, right? There's gonna be moments of like clashing. Of,
right.
How do you figure that out? Like,
that's, no, that stuff sucks in the beginning and it's inevitable, but like it's the one, honestly, the best part about business in my opinion, because it allows you to work through these issues. Cause you know, it's like any situation, you know, you're with a group of people, you have a common goal and you need to figure out how to get there.
Yeah.
And you know, you need to keep, the relationship has to come before everything. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's kind of what helps a lot. And, I've also had mentors as well who have kind of helped me through that, who I've kind of gone to when, you know, we have a little bit of a dispute and you don't see eye to eye and how to go around that. But, yeah, just knowing that the relationship always comes first. Mm. And then the business, you know, if the relationship is okay, the business will be okay.
True. Because, like, the relationship is that foundation that builds the business. And you guys, but at the end, you know, at the end, you're all boys and you can, like, figure it out. Right. So you've got into stores, things are moving on. Like, what are some things in the horizon for Fumes?
So we're still kind of, the one of the bigger updates for us too was we expanded to Newfoundland that was actually late last year, and so that was huge for us. We got into about 8 locations there.
Wow.
Now we're looking for funding now. The cannabis industry is in an interesting space because you know, in the people had projections on nothing, right? Early on.
Right.
And so people thought when it would legalize, it would, you know, do a lot better than it did. And so it's still kind of in its infancy stages. And so I say that because there's not as many events, there's not as many banks aren't supporting as many at the moment because it's kind of in a state of flux, right?
That's crazy though. Like, that's literally money printing. Why would a bank?
And so,
is it like a legal thing for them?
No. Oh, okay. No, like some will do, like they will support it, but it's just they've supported it in the beginning and then they're going, right? So it's, we're looking at securing some funding in the next year, hopefully to grow a little bit and hopefully expand a bit, because that's the next step. Hopefully expand.
More stores in Newfoundland,
New Brunswick has been a huge target of ours since we started.
Yeah, there's that thing that happens in the thing that happens in the forest, Future Forest. Is it called Future Forest? I don't know. But like there's a rave thing that happens there.
Right.
Anyway, so New Brunswick, what targets do you have in mind?
Yeah, New Brunswick is just a really interesting market because theirs is privatized, unlike ours.
What?
Because the government.
Yeah, so they're not selling their NSLC. There.
NSLCs, yeah. So those are, essentially, that's the only legal place you can go to purchase cannabis in Halifax, in Nova Scotia.
Yeah.
But you go to New Brunswick has their equivalent to the NSLCs, but there's also private stores that you can go to as well.
Gosh.
So like if you want to open a cannabis store in New Brunswick, you can.
Holy
you can't
smokes.
In Nova Scotia.
Why wouldn't we want to do that though?
Right. And again, I think maybe, well, I mean, 10 years and we'll get there,
right,
maybe.
Right.
10 years.
Okay, you know, something you've just mentioned again, the 10 years thing. The average person when they start a business, they kind of just want it to be hockey stick, right? Just
right.
But you have this long term plan. Like, is that, where did that come from?
Yeah, good question. I think again, like, I think one of the reasons I was able to transition so easily to entrepreneurship, is because I was around a lots of other entrepreneurs, and I kind of got to see the practicalities of the life of an entrepreneur. And so I think that really helped me to kind of, I think I could actually do this.
Mm.
And, you know, kind of helping me also to understand that, you know, it's 5 to 10 years is what it's going to take minimum. So, and also, you know, it's just fun to learn too. It's so fun to like, and that's really the what keeps you kind of excited is like, it's something new that you kind of get to explore.
Right. So Fumes is doing his thing and you're making these plans, future plans for Fumes. What are some ways that you relax and take care of yourself? Because like you have the business, you have the day job and all that
stuff. Yeah. I still work full time too. So I'm pretty good at it. I think you just got to fit things that you like to do in. And I'm usually like someone who I have like two extremes, right? Like I like to go 100% or zero and there's nothing in between.
Right.
So, and that's kind of like what my week and weekends look like, you know, Monday to Friday, I'm like going and then, you know, Saturday, Sunday, I'm nothing.
Yeah.
Like no plans, please, nothing.
That is actually not a bad plea to go.
Yeah, it's, but I'm also like, sometimes though, it kind of hurts me because I know I need it sometimes a bit more social interaction.
Right.
Cause you know, it's good for everyone, but, yeah, trying to just realize things like that and fit them in when I can.
Wow. Yeah. That's insane. Anyway, I mean, Fumes, it's great cause you guys are in the NSLC. But yeah, you just blew my mind with the whole New Brunswick thing, and I'm like, why wouldn't we do that?
We're the only, yeah, like every other, like Toronto, obviously, they're like the weed capital of Canada.
Yeah, like if there's a street where you drive and there's like stores, and
everywhere.
I'm like, god damn, and they have the coolest names though.
Right.
They have the coolest names.
It's pretty, there's like a whole tourist experience you can go to just based on weed in Toronto.
Yeah. I'm like, well,
they have events, everything. It's pretty interesting, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, actually, before I let you go, I wanted to talk, you talked at the Vancouver, I can't remember the name of the trade show.
It was called, yeah, so that's, it's called Lift & Co.
Yeah.
So it's Canada's biggest, like, cannabis conference.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we usually go to that every year because it's, you know, helps us find new clients, helps us kind of build a brand outside of the province. And so, yeah, it's super fun too. Super, super fun. So
I'm like, a lot of what time of the year does it usually happen?
They usually, well, it's interesting. So again, like I said, the cannabis industry is in an interesting space right now. So they usually do it once or twice a year.
Okay.
Once in Toronto, and then like once out east and once out west.
Okay.
Last year they did it three times. They took it to the States. They went to San Fran.
Oh wow.
We didn't make it to that one.
Right.
But we had already went to the other two that year. So this year, I think they only do one or two. I don't know if they'll go back there, but it's happening later in the year this year.
Okay, cool. Yeah, Joshua, man, I'm having so much fun chatting with you, but I want to let you go with this, though. I mean, your entrepreneurial journey is very inspiring, and like someone is watching or listening to this episode, and they're like, yeah, I want to do that. Maybe Fumes, maybe rolling paper, maybe shoes, whatever the business a person is having in mind, what advice, apart from the 5 to 10 year thing?
Right. Yeah, I mean, just follow that thread. It's like how you think, I want to do something, and then you kind of like work backwards from it. Mm. And then like, what's the first step? And then, you know, just follow that curiosity thread of like, what would it take? What would I need to do? You know, and then you just kind of find yourself on a never ending list of things, but it's kind of cool because you're learning new things and you kind of gain a new perspective too. So it's that, I think that would be the advice.
Thanks. So two things I want to do, because this is a new year. A friend of mine asked me this question. I'm like, I'm going to ask every guest.
Cool.
So it's like, what experience occurred in your life before you were 17 that you think made you who you are today? So it happened like before you were 17 year old, and it's kind of responsible for who Josh is today.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know, it blew my mind.
Yeah. That's a tough one.
I know.
17. Phew. It's tough because I can barely remember anything pre-COVID.
Thank you, COVID.
And I don't know. I There's so many. I'd say like it's just a mix, like combination. It's hard to pinpoint it to one, but
I mean, it doesn't have to be one, right?
Yeah. I think humility is something I learned early on. I think before 17. And I think I saw that through some of my mentors as well. So learning how to be really good, or how to be, you know, have that sense of humility in me and kind of help lend it to others, I think.
Awesome. Okay. And then the last thing I said I'm going to do to this year is like, I learned a magic trick. One of my guests taught me this trick. My magic cards I got from my friend. And you're going to pick one number, any number. I think it's between 1 and 60. And once you have the number, I want you to write it down on that paper. Okay. Show it to the camera. I'm not going to see it. And I'll tell you what your number is after I do my thing.
Okay.
You got your number down? It'd be so fucked if I fucked this up. Okay, show the camera.
Can you see that?
Okay, so there's a sequence, right? Is your number in this card?
Nope.
Is your number in this card?
Yeah.
Okay. Is it in this card?
Nope.
Is it in this card?
This one?
Yep.
Nope.
Oh, wow. Okay. Is it in this one?
No.
No?
No.
Holy shit. Okay. Is it this one?
Nope.
I think I forgot the trick, but is your number 2?
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming to the podcast today. No, man, it's magic.
No way. I'm going to think about that all day.
Thanks for coming today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
This was really cool. Thank you.